Here on Daf Samach Beis, Amud Beis, in the middle of the Amud, we're analyzing the Shita of Rabbi Eliezer ben Yaakov, whose opinion it is that you could be mafrish truma from tvua that hasn't reached yet the chiyuv trumas and maestris, which means shlish, and the chalos truma will be chal later on after the gidul. The Gemara records a machlokes, how to interpret, or how far does Rabbi Eliezer ben Yaakov go? Rabba takes a more conservative, limited approach. It's only once it reaches the state of shachas. Again, it's before havar shlish. But nevertheless, this is animal feed, animal fodder. It's royal ibeima. And therefore, it has a certain significance to it, and it could be considered almost as if it's a Dovra Boliolam, but Agam, which means Tfuah that only began to grow, you can see it, but it's very soft, it's not suitable for anything, you can't feed the animals, it's too small. In that case, you cannot be Mafrish Truma, even according to Rabbi Eliezer ben Yaakov. It's really a pure Dovra Shalom Boliolam. Rav Yosef, on the other hand, he extends Rabbi Eliezer ben Yaakov, Afilu Biagam. Once the Tvua began to grow, you could be Mafrish Truma. And according to some Rishonim, both Rabba and Rav Yosef agree that according to Rabbi Eliezer ben Yaakov, there is a principle of Odom Makne, Dovah Shalom Boliolam. We haven't really seen such a shita explicit yet, but that's how the Rishonim want to learn. Rabbi Eliezer ben Yaakov, both according to Rabba and Rav Yosef, the Chachamim on the other hand disagree. They would not allow or validate, if you will, any afrashas truma on grains before they reached havar shlish, because ein odom makne dovah shalom boliolam. So whether it's shachas or agam, it makes no difference. There's no chalos, there's no valid hafrasha according to the Chachamim. There are those who interpret that Rabbi and Rav Yosef understood that even Rabbi Eliezer ben Yaakov embraces the principle of ein odom makne dovah shalom boliolam, and therefore you need the tvua to reach a certain stage that's a dovah shalom boliolam. We thought that maybe Rabba understood that according to Rabbi Eliezer ben Yaakov, you need a Dovra Boliolam, and that's Shachas. Agam is considered a Dovra Shalom Boliolam. It's not royal anything. Whereas Rabbi Yosef went a step further, and according to his understanding, Rabbi Eliezer ben Yaakov, Odom Makne Dovra Shalom Boliolam. Now the Gemara analyzes Rabbi Yosef, my mashma. What does it mean, my mashma? The word agam usually means some sort of a marshland, some wet ground. My mashma, the high agam, lishna de butzlona hu, that the agam of Rav Yosef is a reference to a dover ha-mevatspeitz. Butzlona means mevatspeitz. It sort of is bubbling out. It's coming out. Viola min ha-karka. It's sprouting. V'yesh bo shir muot l'kofofo. And it has the very minimum shear that you could bend it over. It's a vegetation that barely began. Omar Rabbi Lazar, the Omar Kra, the pasuk says in Yeshayahu Anovi, we'll read the entire pasuk, Hakazeh yetzom evchareu yom anos adam nafsho halachof ki agmon rosho. What does that mean? Is it the will of Hashem that a person should bow his head ki agmon? And agmon, which is the noun from agam, the longer noun, is a kind of a needle that has a bent head to it, and it's used as a hook by fishermen to catch fish. And that's the symbol here of man bowing his head. Hashem wants tshuva. He wants general genuine, excuse me, repentance, sincere repentance, and not just that a person sort of present himself as an agmon and bow his head. There's got to be something more in his lev, in his heart. In any event, the pasuk is using the word agmon to mean a bent needle, a needle with a bent head on it. And here too, agmon is a word that's used as a sort of an appellation for tvua, for grains that grew a bit. They started growing. They're still very soft, and you can bow them. You can bend them. It's too early, as we said before, of a stage in vegetation and growth for it to be suitable as animal fodder. Kiman Azla. The Gemara now has a Mishnah, and the Gemara wants to know that this Mishnah, which Shita does it support? The Mishnah says, Ha'omer l'chavero, im yolda ishtecha nekeva, if your wife will give birth to a female, is mekudeshes li, this newborn baby, when she's born, should be my wife. Lo amar klum, there's no valid kedushin here. It's a davar shelo baliola. V'yomer Rav Chanina, lo shanu ela she'ein ishtu muberes, aval ishtu muberes dvarv kayomim. If at this point the wife of his friend is pregnant, then, assuming she'll give birth to an akeva, the kedushin is valid. That's the shita Rabbi Chanina. In other words, it would seem from Rabbi Chanina that ein adam makne dover shelo bol yom klal, if it's totally non-existent, then it's impossible, doesn't lend itself to any sort of kinyan or kedushin. But if it's miktsaso ba'olam, if to some extent it's there, there's a fetus, then at that point, even though the fetus has not yet emerged as a viable human being, we apply the principle of adam makne. Once she's muberes, even though she hasn't yet given birth, the kedushin is valid. That's called miktsaso bol yolam. And the Gemara now wants to know, kiman, which shita in the various understandings of Rabbi Eliezer ben Yaakov, who allows for afroshas truma in a case of tvua that hasn't yet reached shlish, does this opinion of Rabbi Chanina support? E Kirabah, if we're going to combine Rabbi Chanina with the sheet of Rabbah, who says that he could be mafresh according to Rabbi Eliezer ben Yaakov, hafrosha of truma min hatvua that has at least reached a certain chashivus, it's already shachas. If that be the case, then here also in the case of kiddushin, Rabbi Chanina doesn't mean that the kiddushin is chal because this woman is pregnant and as soon as she became pregnant, but rather kishahukar ubra. Rabba will require a more serious advanced stage, a development, which will be somewhat comparable to the tvua of shachas. There's a certain chashivus to it. Hukar ubra means a woman is already past the first third of her term of pregnancy. Let's say she's past the third month. That's called nikar. It's recognizable that she's pregnant. The embryo has developed to that stage, and that would be parallel to the shear of growth in grains of shachas. And that's considered a davar shemiktsaso ba'olam. It's no longer davar shelo ba'olam, which Rabbi Eliezer ben Yaakov would allow and validate the afroshas truma, just as Rabbi Chanina in the Mishnah validates a kiddushin with an ubar that's reached the stage of hukar ha'ubar. But before that stage, if the baby is just very shortly after its conception, that would not be considered a being that's suitable for kiddushin. V'ikar Rav Yosef. If on the other hand we would equate the shita of Rabbi Chanina in the case of being mekadesh an ubar with the understanding of Rav Yosef that he could be mafresh truma even though it reached this very, very basic stage of the beginning of its vegetation called agam, the same thing would apply in the case of the ubar afalpi shalohukar ubra, even if there's no way of knowing when you look at this woman, the embryo is so early in its development that she's pregnant. And the Gemara now offers a Lishna Basra, another alternative presentation of the machlokas between Rabbi and Rav Yosef with regard to Rabbi Eliezer ben Yaakov. Ika di Amre, Omar Rabba, lo Omar Rabbi Eliezer ben Yaakov, ela b'shachas debei kivsha. We're not talking about shachas in general, but rather shachas debei kivsha, which is a kind of grain that grows in a beis habal, a sod beis habal. This we know from Perek Cheskes Habatim of Basra, is a field that grows from rainwater. It doesn't require any irrigation. And since there's no need for an active involvement on the part of a human being in order to engender the vegetation, then it's already considered as if it came into existence. Shachas debei kivsha, with the falling of the rain, will inevitably grow and mature and reach the stage of havashlish and beyond. Therefore, even though it hasn't yet reached the stage of shlish, it still lends itself to hafrashas truma, according to Rabbi Eliezer ben Yaakov, because it is a shachas of a stebeis habal, that's rabba. Aval b'shachas devei shakya, which is called sodebeis hashalchin, which is a field that needs irrigation, lo. In such a case, according to rabba, even Rabbi Eliezer ben Yaakov in this Lishna Basra would agree that there's no possibility of being mafresh truma, because there's absolutely no guarantee that with the passage of time there will be a development of the shachas, a growth of the shachas, because there is a possibility that he won't irrigate the field, he won't have enough water, or there's nobody around to irrigate the field, whatever it might be, and this vegetation is going to die, because it cannot survive on rainwater alone. It's a stay beis hashalchin. For Rav Yosef Amar afilu b'shachas debei shakya, even in the case of a beis hashalchin, which is totally dependent for its sustenance on irrigation, on the human involvement and activity, it still is considered a dover bali olam, and you can be mafresh truma from shachas, even to vei shakya, even from a sada beis habal. That's the sheet of Rav Yosef and understanding Rabbi Eliezer ben Yaakov. Now we go back to the mission of Kiddushin, Keman Azla, Hadisnan. We go back to the Mishnah, Ha'omer l'chaverim yolda ishtecha nekeva mekudeshesli lo'omer klum v'yomer abchanina lo'shanu ele she'ein ishto muberes aval ishto muberes dvarv kayomin. Rav Chanina in the Mishnah claims that if his friend's wife is indeed pregnant, then the kiddushin to the future girl that's going to be born is valid. And although ein adam makadish dover shelo boli olam, but here the muberes it makes the ubar into a dover boli olam. It's miktsoso olam, as we discussed. It's not an adam gomer. It's not a viable human being. The baby hasn't yet been born, but nevertheless, since the baby exists in the embryonic stage, that's already considered miktsoso boli olam keman. So if you hold Kisha Hukar Ubra, if we go back to stipulating this condition that Rav Chanina validates the Kiddushin in the case of Ubar only if it's Hukra Ubar, means the baby is more than 3 months old in its mother's womb, it's Nikar, there's a certain Chashivas to the baby, Ukidiri Akol, and in such a case, whether it's Rav or Rav Yosef, both of them would agree that Rav Eliezer ben Yaakov would not validate the Hafrashas Truma until the Tvua grew at least to the stage of Shachas. If it's less than Shachas, there's no Kedushin that could be valid. And even according to Rabbah, who says that only Tvua that grows from a Soda Beis Habal, which means from natural rain, that with the passage of time it will grow, then and only then does Rabbi Eliezer ben Yaakov validate the Hafrashas Truma. Here, the Kiddushin will be Chal in a case of Hukar Ubar, because the development of the baby, like the case of Stebe Sabal, depends upon nature, upon Shamayim, it's with the passage of time. Lo b'maisa Adam, you don't need man to intervene. So even though Rabbah would say, as we saw in the Lishna Basra, that Shachas de Beis Shakya, which is a Sada Beis HaShalchin, is the Dovah Shalom Bal Yolam, and then the Afrashas Tvua is not Chal because it depends upon human intervention. It needs irrigation. But nevertheless, Rabbi would agree that in the case of Hukar HaUbar, that would be, from the perspective of Rabbi Eliezer ben Yaakov, a valid hakna, or in this case a valid kiddushin, because there's a certain chashivus here, and that chashivus is like shachas. But beyond that, we're talking about a situation which is like shachas to be kivsha, because there's no human intervention required in the development of the embryo. Now, we had a brisa that establishes that according to Rabbi Eliezer ben Yaakov, a person can be mafresh truma from tvua before avashlish, even though it's not chayav in truma. And that is because an adam can be makna dover shalom b'olam as long as it's miktsaso b'olam. The Gemara now mentions the shitos of other tanoim. Omar Abaye, Rabbi Eliezer ben Yaakov, the Rebbe, Rabbi Meir Kulu Svirle, Adam Makne Dover Shalom Boli Olam, says Abai, it's not just the Shita of Rabbi Eliezer ben Yaakov that we saw in Afrashas Tvua that validates a Dover Shalom Boli Olam as long as it's Ba B'miktas Liolam, but it's also the Shita of Rebbe, Rabbi Yudan Nasi, it's also the Shita of Rabbi Meir. In other words, Rabbi Eliezer ben Yaakov does not stand alone. He has some colleagues, some chaverim, who support his position. And even Rabbi Meir, who holds that Eino the Machne Dovishlo Boli Olam, that's Eino Boli Olam Klau. But Kishahiskil Love Boli Olam, like we saw in Rabbi Eliezer ben Yaakov, then the Kinyan is Chal. And now Abaye is going to go through each one of these three Tanoim. Rabbi Eliezer ben Yaakov is Hod Amor, we saw in the Tosefta that he can be Mafresh Truma from Tvua that hasn't grown and reached Avash Lish. It's not considered Bal Yolam as far as the Chiv Truma is concerned. Abai says, Rebbe, this Sanyo we learned in a Braisa, and here we're looking on Daf Samak Gimel Amid Aleph. The Braisa begins with the pasuk in Dvarim Chav Gimelo Tazgir Eved El Adonov, Rabbi Omer Belo Keach Eved Al Menas L'Shacharo Hakosav Medaber. The Torah is addressing itself to a situation of a person who purchases an Eved under the condition that immediately, once the Kinyan is Chal, he will be Meshacharer, he will free the Eved. And since he purchased
the Eved on this condition immediately when the Kinyan is Chal, the Shichur is Chal. And if we can't work this Eved, the Eved is free. And the Torah in such a case warns us and prohibits Lo Tazgir Eved al Adonav, which means that Bezdin is enjoined from giving this Eved over to the buyer for Shibud purposes in order to work the Eved. Heichi Domi, the Gemara wants to clarify what exactly is the case. We can't talk about a case where the Eved was already Meshukrar and then the Torah gave us an Azhara, because in such a case he's not an Eved at all. The Torah must be addressing a case where he's still an Eved, and yet there's an Iser of being Mazgir the Eved to Adonav, to the purchaser, to the master. So it means he's still an Eved, and you're not allowed to be Mazgir him to Adonav, Omer Rav Nachman Bar Yitzchak Kigon, the Kosav Lei, when the buyer purchased the Eved, and he wrote a Shtar, he wrote a Shtar Shichrur, even before he purchased the Eved. And this is going to lead us to the sugya of Adam Akhne Dovish Lobalilim. What did he write in the Shtar Shichur? Lisha Ekochacha, when I buy you, Hare Atzmacha Knuya Kanui Lecha Me'achshav. The Shichur should be Chal from now. Now, it couldn't be that it's Chal Amafreya from the time of the writing of the Shtar, because a person can't be Meshachar and Eved that doesn't belong to him but belongs to someone else. So certainly, until the Adon who purchased the Eved acquires ownership on the Eved, he cannot be Meshachar the Eved. But it means, as soon as the Eved enters into his domain, into his possession, there's no need for a new Shichur. The original Shichur will be Chal. And why? Because he wrote in the Shtar Shichur that as soon as I purchase you, you are Konui. So again, even though at the time of the writing of the Shtar, the buyer had not yet acquired ownership over the Eved, and therefore at that point when he wrote the Shtar, there's no way that he could have been Meshachar the Eved, he doesn't own the Eved, this Shichur is a Dover Shabbali Olam. And nevertheless, the halacha is that in such a case, when he purchases the Eved is Zocha Biatzmo, and he's Mishtachrer. And this is all the opinion of Rebbe in the Tosefta, that Odo Makhtu Dov Shal Balyola, and a person could write a Shtar on an Eved to be Mishtachrer even before he purchases the Eved. And that Shita of Rebbe reflects the opinion of Rabbi Eliezer ben Yaakov that Odo Makhtu Dov Shal Balyola, as long as there's something Balyola. I mean, the Eved is Ba'olam. He's not yet Roy L'Shichur. Rabbi Meir, from whence does Abai know or prove that Rabbi Meir holds you can be Machted Dover Shalom Ba'olam? This Sanya we learned in a Braisa. If a non-Jew, Omer Le'isha, says to a Jewish woman, Areat Mekudesh Li Li'achashes Gai, Li'achashet Tizgairi, Li'achashesh Tachar, Li'achashet Tishtachari, Liachar sheyomus bailech, liachar shetomus achosech, liachar sheyachlots loch yevonech, is eino mekudeshes, Rabbi Meir omer mekudeshes. In what case does Rabbi Meir validate the kiddushin? And we've learned this already in the past. In the case where we still have a dovar shelo boliolam. Because the Gerus hasn't taken place yet, the Shichur hasn't taken place, the Misas Abal, the Misas Ishto, who's Achos, the Achos Ishto, or the Chalitza to the Yevam L'Shuk, all this has not taken place yet, and yet the Kiddushin is valid, according to Rabbi Meir. And even though he didn't say Me'akshav, in other words, he just said a regular case of Kiddushin, Kiddushei Kesef. And even though the Kesef was given at a time when there's no possibility of Chalos Kiddushin, because right now he's a guy, she's a goya, Eved, Shivcha, etc., etc., Yivam Lashuk, but nevertheless, that's not considered a chisaron. And that's the shita of Rabbi Meir. That even though the Kiddushin right now are not Ru'uyim Lachul, he's a guy, he's an Eved, nevertheless, it will be Chal. The Gemara now analyzes another shita, the shita of Rabbi Yochanan Sanlar, who seems to accept the first opinion in this brisa, meaning the opinion of the Chachamim in the Reisha before Rabbi Meir, that the Kiddushin is not valid. Omer Eina Mekudeshes, Rabbi Yehuda Nasi, Omer Mekudeshes, Rabbi Yehuda Nasi reiterates the position of Rabbi Meir, because Adam Mekadesh, even, let's say, Achos Ishto, while his sister is alive. In fact, a man could be Mekadesh, a married woman, according to Rabbi Yehuda Nasi, even before she loses her husband or gets a divorce from her husband. Again, we'll soon see that Mirabana and the Kedushin is not valid, but at least on a Deraisa level. Umatam Omru Eina Mekudeshes Mishum Eva. The Rabbanan refused to validate the Kiddushin in a case of a married woman, because if the woman knows that her husband was Mekadesh, her sister, in such a way that Kiddushin Bichal when she herself dies, that's going to create Eva, that's going to create Sina, that's going to engender a lot of hatred. Or if a man marries a woman who's married now, that's going to create a certain tension between her and her husband. Is im yeda baal sheishto, the husband knows that his wife accepted kiddushin from someone else that would be chal after his death. You can imagine what the Baal is thinking. You know, they're waiting for his death so that the Kiddushin can be chal with another man. I mean, that's terrible. That's a tremendous sinner. You know, you want to know, you don't have to teach Shalom Bayis courses in order to appreciate why this is antithetical to Shalom Bayis. So the Chachamim are mevatel Kiddushin in these two cases, but fundamentally Rabbi Yehuda Nasi validates the Kiddushin because Adam Machne Dover Shalom Baal Yola. The Gemara now asks the following question. If indeed Rabbi Yehuda Nasi accepts the shita of Rabbi Meir, is Venechshov Nami Rabbi Yehuda Nasi? When Abaye enumerates those Tanoim, let's go back to Abaye for a second. He says, Rabbi Eliezer and Yaakov and Rabbi Meir, Kulu Svirle Odomach Nedovish Lobol Yolom. So now, at this point, the Gemara doesn't realize that when Abaye, in his enumerated list, mentions Rebbe, he had in mind Rabbi Yehuda Nasi. That's the Gemara answers, Hainu Rebbe, Hainu Rabbi Yehuda Nasi. That indeed, Abaye did include Rebbe, meaning Rabbi Yehuda Nasi, on his list of Tanoim who hold that Odo Machne Dover Shalom Baal Yolam. Benechshov Nami Rabbi Akiva. Now the Gemara wants to know, what about Rabbi Akiva? I can prove to you that he too embraces the shita that Odo Machne Dover Shalom Baal Yolam, because a woman told her husband, Konam Shani Osa Laficha, which means Konam is like an Isra Hegdesh, and there should be an Isra Hegdesh upon you with regard to anything that I will do, meaning you should not benefit from what I do, is Ein Tzarech LaHafer. In such a case, there's no need for the Baal, who has rights to be made for the Nedarim, to have to be made for the Ned. This Neder is not Chal at all. A woman is Meshuvah to Baila, and she has to give whatever she does and whatever she earns to her husband. She cannot prohibit her husband from that which is his, meaning from Maisi Adel, which is coming to him, Alpidin. Rabbi Akiva Omer, Yofer. Nevertheless, the Baal, even though she has a shibutim, he must be made for the neder. Why? Shema tadif olav yesem in aroilo. What happens if she makes a bundle, meaning she earns more than what we expected, and there's an extra surplus of funds, which is above and beyond Hashibut Hachiv to give to him? The Gemara in Ksubis explains what are the shiurim of what she's Meshubit to give and what's beyond. There's a case there of Mishkal HaSlaim, and that's in Golil, in Yehuda there's a different shiur. Eser Slaim B'Golim, five Slaim in Geula, in Yehuda. So what is Rabbi Akiva's point? He's saying that her neder, to some extent, partially at least, is valid because she can create an Iser Hegdesh on her husband with regard to that surplus income, which is not included in the Shibud. And it becomes Hegdesh because of the neder, and therefore Rabbi Akiva advocates that the Baal, if he's thinking with his head, he will be Mefir the neder. If he won't be Mefir the neder, then all of this surplus Maisi Adayim will be also behegdesh like a konam. And this is all true, even though at the time that she took the neder, she hasn't earned this money. That surplus, which is going to be included as a heftz of neder, Venisa neder, is not in the world. It's doch we see clearly that Rabbi Akiva maintains that Adam Yochel Lahagdish Dovar Shalo Boli Olam. Why didn't Abai mention Rabbi Akiva in his list? And the Gemara answers, Ha Itmar Allah, because regarding Rabbi Akiva, we have the following embellishment. Omar Rab Huna Bereid Rav Yeshua. Be Omeres Yikadshu Yodai Lo Sehem. The case and the neder which Rabbi Akiva was addressing was not when she was Magdish Ha Maisi Yodayim. That's a Dover Shalom Boli Olam. But rather, she was Magdish Ha Yodayim. The Yodayim themselves are Boli Olam. And she said, He caught you Yodai Lo Seyem. It's like Karen Leperos. The Yodayim Isnu Ba'olam. And that's why the Neder will be Chal. And now we want to begin the next Mishnah, which addresses the question of Kiddushin ala Tanai, and the Tanai is that she, the Miskadeshes, will do something on his behalf. I'm sorry. The Tanai was that the Mekadesh would do something on her behalf. Ha'omer Leisha Harat Mekudeshly Amanasha Dabra Laich Leshilton Esaimakifoel. If he stipulates that he will speak on her behalf to the authorities, because apparently she owes tax monies, and he will be able to get her off the hook. He has such such political clout amongst the higher echelons of the government. Or he makes a condition that he will work for her for a day, is if he goes ahead and he fulfills that condition, Dibra Lel Shilton, Asa Ima Kefoel, Mekudeshes Him Lav, Eina Mekudeshes. Amar Eish Lakish Vehu, under what circumstances does the Mishnah validate the Kiddushin? That's only Shenasan Lo Shavah Pruta. He gave her a shavah pruta. He says, "Harat mekudeshes li v'pruta zu," on the condition that I will speak to the government on your behalf. But if he didn't give her a shavah pruta, even though speaking on her behalf to the shilton and protecting her from any sort of lawsuits of the government for unpaid monies and taxes is worth who knows what, probably a lot more than a pruta. Or, for example, the work that he's going to give her for a day is worth a lot more than a pruta. Nevertheless, the Kiddushin would not be Chal because he doesn't give her a Prutas Kesef Kiddushin. All that he's doing for her, speaking on her behalf to the Shilton or working for her for a day, that's all the Tanai. That's not the Kesef Kiddushin. So the Gemara asks, Ubischar Lo? Is Reish Lakish correct when he assumes that there's no possibility of being Mekadisha with the Schar, meaning the value of his Pa'ulos on her behalf? For Asanya, we have a Braisa that if a man says to a woman, Aram Mekudeshli Bischar Sheher Kavtich Alachamor Shal Shavtich Bekaron O Besvina, what is he doing for her? He's lifting her onto the back of the animal, the donkey, or onto the chariot, sitting in the wagon, or onto the boat. Is such a thing is not valid kedushin? Why is that? Because the rechiva, the shiva b'karon, these are things that he already obligated himself to do as part of the schar pa'ula. So that's not considered kesef kedushin. But if he says to her, b'schar shar kivecha l'chamor, shol shivech b'karona b'sfina mekudeshes, if the pa'ula is not the tnai, but rather the goof ha kedushin, it's shove kesef ki kesef, then the kedushin is valid when he does the pa'ula on her half, because he's giving her the schar pa'ula, which hasn't been created yet. It's not like Mekadesh B'Milveh, where, you know, he owes her money, now he wants to Mekadesh with that which he owes. He doesn't owe her anything. He wasn't Mischayev to the Schar Pula. He's giving her the Schar Pula's Kiddushin. So why did Reish Lakish interpret our Mishnah as a case where he gave her a Pruta? Why not say that he was Mekadesh her with the Schar Pula? And just to reiterate the Gemara's question here, why is it necessary? Why does Reish Lakish feel compelled to interpret the Mishnah as addressing a scenario where he gave her a Shavah Pruta? Maybe he was Mekadisha with the Schar Pa'ula, the Chitema. Maybe you'll argue, Hachanami, even in the Braisa, is Bidiyayev La Shavah Pruta, meaning that it's the exact case which Reish Lakish interpreted our Mishnah, namely he gave her a Shavah Pruta, and he made a Tanai that the Kiddush will be Chal after the Pa'ula. So the Gemara says that's impossible. Habischar ka'amar. It's explicit in the Braisa that he was Mekadisha with the Schar, and not because of the Shavah Pruta. The Gemara is not finished with its barrage here on Reish Lakish. V'od. Furthermore, it's difficult. Tanya, we have a Braisa. If a woman turns to a man and says, Shev imi b'tzavta, sit with me together. I don't want to sit alone. V'akadish l'cha, and as compensation, as payment, I will marry you. Or she says to him, Schok l'fanai, you know, make some jokes to me, you know, cheer me up. Crack some jokes. Rekod l'fanai, dance in front of me. I hope he's a good dancer. Asei kedimus hazeh, build me a certain structure. She points to a structure. Is shaman. We evaluate. How much is the pu'ula worth? Im yeshbo shavapruta mekudeshes im lav eina mekudeshes. That if what he's doing would have an objective market value of a pruta at least, then the kedushin is valid. So we see that once again, we're dealing with a case where he's Mekadisha not with a pruta, but rather with the pu'ula. The question, of course, is whether this pu'ula is worth a pruta or not. V'chi tema hachanam v'yod v'lei shava pruta. If you're going to tell me that this Bryce is talking about a case where he gave her a pruta, then v'ashamin also cover. Why does the Bryce tell us that we have to go out to the marketplace and evaluate how much his dance is worth? Or how much his jokes are worth? Is tuv to the Reish Lakish. So all these brisos and all the diyukim they are difficult on Reish Lakish. Why did Reish Lakish feel compelled to constrict the Mishnah and interpret it as referring to a case where he gave her a Shavah Pruta? Forget about the Shavah Pruta. He doesn't have to give her a Shavah Pruta. He can be Mekadisha with the pool itself. Fine. So again, we're looking for some sort of defense to protect Reish Lakish against all these kashas, all these onslaughts. Now, let's talk about a slightly different discussion over here. When a poel does malacha on behalf of the Baal HaBayis, and the Baal HaBayis, from his part, commits himself to pay schar pu'ula, there's a fundamental machlokas tanoim regarding the following issue. When does the Baal HaBayis become mechuyav to pay for the schar? Is it with the siyum hapu'ula, when he finally finishes the whole job, or every single moment of the work of the poel, every little segment of pu'ula vavoda generates a chiyuv to pay for that portion? So the Baal HaBayis really is paying for every moment of pu'ula. Now, in fact, the Baal HaBayis is not going to pay him out of pocket every moment. You know, he's only going to pay him when the job is done. So, in a certain sense, the poel is now lending money to the Baal HaBayis, because, again, the chiyuv has already emerged, even with a segment of the pu'ula. The payment is going to be transferred only after the pu'ula is complete. In the interim period, the Baal HaBayis really owes a chov, we'll call it a milveh, to the poel, until the end, the completion of the work, and then Baal HaBayis compensates him for the entire chov. Amar lecha Reish Lakish, Hai Tana Bara, the Tana of these brisos that you quote me, Savar, Eino L'Schiris El Basof, that there is no chiyuv, there's no financial legal obligation on the part of the Baal HaBayis to pay for the pu'ula until the end of the work, when the work is complete and terminated. He doesn't have to pay him for segments of the work. That's called Ein L'Schiris El Basof. And since the Baal HaBayis only has to pay at the end of the pu'ula, therefore, this is not a case of halva. There's no chiyuv to pay for parts of the pu'ula. And therefore, when the woman asked him to dance for him, or to play jokes for him, and build a certain little structure for him, she is not owing him any money for the increment of his work. She only has to pay him the money at the end of the job. Again, if the brisa reflects the sheet of Ein L'Schiris El Basof, there's no problem of Mekadesh Memilvi here. He's been Mekadesh her with mama that he's giving her. Correct? Because it's not that there's a chov over here in which she owes him money, she has what she has. B'tana didan sover, but in contrast, Reish Lakish argues that the author of Amish, Nesover Yeshna L'Schiris Mitchil Bad Sof, so every moment that this man, the Mekadesh, is doing a pu'ula, and he works on her behalf, every moment engenders a chiyuv for the woman to pay. It's almost as if she's already received the money, and she has to pay for that money. Now that's a halva, that's a chov, that's in the hands of the woman, and he's now got to be Mekadesh with a milva, with a chov, and that he can't do. And that's why Reish Lakish assumes that the only way we could validate this Kiddushin in our Mishnah is if he gave an additional pruta for the purpose of Kiddushin. So the Gemara asks the immediate obvious question, "Umay duchka Reish Lakish? My duchke Reish Lakish lokme masnisim b'yeshna schius b'tchad sof?" Why was Reish Lakish impressed, why did he assume that the underlying view and principle that the Mishnah operates with is Yesh L'Schiris B'Tchilat Sof, and therefore there's a problem in Kaddish Memilva, and therefore you have to insist that the Mishnah is talking against B'Diyavle? Amar Rava Masnisen Kishise. The language of the Mishnah was difficult in the eyes of Reish Lakish. If it's a case where he's Mekadesh with Tzchar Pa'ula, namely with the Hanah that he's giving up because he's going to speak to the Shulchan, is my Iri D'Tani Almanas? Why did the Mishnah bother with the language of Tanai, Nisne B'Tzchar? I'm being Mekadesh you with the Tzchar of the Pa'ula that I'm doing in your behalf. El Shmamina, Kol Almanas Hechad Yoyev Lahu. That when the Mishnah uses the word almanas, And whenever the Mishnah used the word almanas, we're talking about a case where he gave her a pruta, and the almanas is a zaitiga, is a separate extraneous tnai. So the dibur el ashulton or any other avoda pula that he's doing on her behalf, these are all conditions for the chalos kiddushin. Now the Mishnah states that if a man is mekadesh a woman on the tnai, that her father will agree to the kiddushin. How do we understand the intention of the Mekadesh? Almanashi, Yirtza Abba, I want to marry you on the condition that your father agrees to the marriage. Is Ratza Ha'av Mekudeshes V'yimlaveinu Mekudeshes? Only if the father gives his agreement is the condition valid. The Gemara is going to analyze what did the Mekadesh exactly mean when he said Almanashi, Yirtza Abba. Then the Mishnah continues and says, "May Sa'av, if let's say before the father could give his approval, he died. Harezu Mekudeshes." And the Gemara is going to explain that even though it's possible that the father, had he gotten a chance before his death, he would have protested against this Kedushin, nevertheless, in reality, he did in Mitzius, he never was Moche, he never expressed a protest, and therefore the Kedushin is valid. Mes HaBen, let's say the Mekadesh dies before the father reveals his true approval of this Kedushin, is Melamdin of Lomar Eino Rotzeh. We would rather advocate and influence, if we can, the father to declare that he doesn't want the Kedushin. We want to be okay with the Kedushin because we don't want this woman to have to fall for Yibum if we could avoid doing so. And it might be an afkamina also as far as her ability to marry a kohen, or at least a kohen gadol. Is my almanashi yirtzav, the Gemara now analyzes his intention when he said almanashi yirtzava. E lemer will say ad di omar abba, in until we have an explicit declaration on the part of the father that he agrees with the marriage. If that be the case, Ema Mitziyasa. Let's take a look at the middle case in the Mishnah. The middle case of the Mishnah states that if the father, Mesa'av, before he reveals his das, his approval, Harezim Kudeshes follow Amar, in he never actually fulfilled the condition and made that explicit declaration to Ella, but rather, we have to reinterpret. When he said Almanashi Yirtzav, he doesn't mean that his father actually has to verbalize his agreement. And now we're taking a look at Daf Samach Gimel Amid Beis. The intention of the Mekadesh when he said Almanashi Yirtzav is Almanashi Yishtok Abba, meaning at least the father tacitly should agree. Not that he has to explicitly verbalize his agreement, but when he hears about the Kedushin and he doesn't make a Mecha, he doesn't express his opposition, that itself is a fulfillment of the condition Almanashi Yirtzav. Is when the Mishnah says Ratzav Mekudeshes, it means he didn't make a protest when he heard about it. And that which it says Vim Lav Eina Mekudeshes, what does it mean? It means that he made a Mecha. He explicitly got up and he said, I oppose this marriage. And therefore in the Mitziah, in this middle case, if the father dies before he got a chance to express his approval, the marriage is valid, the Tanai is Mekuyam, because he didn't have any sort of protest. He didn't even have the opportunity to protest. He died prematurely. So the Gemara says, wait a minute, let's look at the third case in the Mishnah Masefa. There, Mes HaBen, if the Mekadesh himself dies before the father of his bride had a chance to express his approval, we want to encourage the father to say, Eino Rotza, my Vashasik. What good would it be if he would protest after the son died? He was quiet when he heard about it. And since he was quiet when he heard about this marriage agreement, automatically the Chalos Kedushin is in effect, and now his opposition, his Nagdus would be meaningless. Ella, but rather Gemara says the Seif has to be reinterpreted. Omar La, Almanash Lo Yimcha Abba. If he said at the time of his Kedushin, on the condition that the father will not object, therefore, even after he dies, meaning the Ben, the Mekadesh dies, the father has the ability to express his objection to make a bracha and to undermine the kedusha. And therefore, since the Mekadesh, when he pronounced and declared his marriage, he never put a time limitation up until when, until what time can the father be yet it was an open-ended ticket. Whenever the father's mocha, that's going to be oker, it's going to invalidate the kedushin. Therefore, as long as the father was not mocha, she's not married, the validation of the marriage depends upon the opposite of mecha. In other words, if the father dies without mecha, then she's mekudeshes. But therefore, the case where the mekadesh dies, then we can teach the father, encourage him to make a mecha, to say he doesn't want the kedushin, because there was never a time limitation to that mecha. So the mecha, which invalidates the kedushin, is an open-ended whenever he gets around to mecha, even after the mekadesh dies. But in the reisha of the Mishnah, when the mekadesh had a kavana that the condition in his marriage would be that there'd be shtika on the part of the father, therefore, if he wasn't mocha at the beginning of the kedushin, his mecha subsequently, after he was shoseik initially at the first stage, is going to be meaningless, and it cannot torpedo the kedushin. The Gemara is not happy with this. Are you splitting now the Mishnah into two parts? And in the Reisha, we're talking about a case of a Tanai Sheyishtokaav, which means that if the father hears about it, he doesn't make a Mechal, that's a Kiyuma Tanai, and that validates the Kedusha. Whereas in the Metzia and the Sefer, we're talking about a case where if the father dies before he made a Mechal, the Sefer where the Mekadesh dies before the father made a Mecha, B'chad time, that's a different explanation. There, he was Mekadesh with the Tanai of Almanash Shalo Yimcha Av. So we have the split here, the dichotomy of the Mishnah in the Reishas, assuming that the Tanai was that the father would be Shoseik when he heard about the Kedushin. And that would validate the Kedushin. Whereas in the Sefer, the validation of the Kedusha depends upon a different Tanai, namely Shalo Yimcha Ha'av, which means that the father can make a Mecha even after the death of the Mekadesh. Therefore, even though, again, as far as the Seif is concerned, the father did not make a Mecha, the Kedusha is not valid, as we said, because he still has the possibility of making a Mecha. The validation of the Kedushin is the Lo Yimcha, giving the father an unlimited, an open-ended time a situation where he could always be Mocha. Rav Yani says we could tolerate such a thing, that the Mishnah really is split into two parts, and the Tanai means two different things. In the Reish it means She Yishtok, and in the Sefer it means Shelo Yimcha. Reish Lakish, and here Reish Lakish is going to make a statement, an observation, a comment that's based on Rav Yanai. Rav Yanai just has said that you could split the Mishnah into two. And L'chora, it would have been possible to say that the Mishnah is talking about a case of Almanas Sheyirtze Abba. Sheyirtze Abba, and that would cover both Tanoim, both Tanais. That in the case of the Reisha, we interpret the Mekadesh as if he said that if the father is silent, the Kedushin Achal. And why is that so? Because that's considered Yirtze Abba, and that's a film to Tanai. And therefore, if the father wants the Kedushin to be Chal, then once he has given his Ratzon through Shtika, then he can no longer be Mocha. Then we get to the second half of the Mishnah, the middle case and the last case of the Mishnah. There we interpret, according to Rav Yanai, that what he meant was Im lo yimcha abba yachula k'dechalos kedushin. Therefore, if he's shoseik, he can still decide later on to change his mind to make a mecha. And in the case where the father died, the kedusha would be chal because there's no longer a possibility of mecha. In the case where the Makadish died, the father could still make a Mechon B'mavata the Kedushin. Ishma minomid Rav Yanai, what we see from Rav Yanai is Dachkinon u'mokbinam asnisa b'trei taimei, that the best way of interpreting this Mishnah is to assume two different interpretations of the Tanai, one in the Reisha and the other in the Emtsaisa and Seifa. I'll leave it to Chad Tano. V'lo mukmina b'trei Tanoi b'chad Tano. And it's better to assume that we're talking about one Tana, the two different cases, and that is a better option than to interpret the Mishnah according to Trei Tanoi, that is Machlokes Ki'ilu between the Tana of the Reisha and the Tana of the Seifa, and that would be a Docha Gadol, because there's no indication in the Mishnah that we're talking about two different Tanoi. Rav Yosef Bar Amo Amar Liom Chad Taimahu, I don't even have to go down the road of Rav Yanai and assume that the Mishnah is talking about two different Tamim, but rather it's all Chad Taimah. Umay, and what does it mean? Al Menashe Yirtza Abba, Al Menashe Lo Yimcha Abba Mikan V'yad Shloshim Yom. In other words, when the Reisha, Al Menashe Yirtza Abba, formulates a Tanai, the Tanai is that the father will not make a bacha within a 30-day period of time. And therefore the Reish explains and establishes that if the father wants the Kedusha, she's Mekudeshes, it means he doesn't make a bacha within that 30-day period. And when it says, im lo rotza ha'av eina Mekudeshes, that means that he made a protest and he expressed his objection to the marriage within 30 days. In the Mitziyasa, the case where the father died, the Kedushin Achal, it means since after he died, he has no possibility of Mecha, there's no way that he could be Mevatel the Kedushin because you need the Mecha within 30 days to Mevatel the Kedushin. And that's clear in the Sefer, that if the Mekadish dies, the father still has the ability within the 30-day period to make a Mecha, even though initially he was Shosek. So therefore we can interpret the Mishnah from beginning to end with Chad Taimah. And now, we're going to get to the Mishnah that deals with the case of a woman who we know accepted Kedusha, we don't know exactly what the identity of the Mekadesh is. Can a man come along and identify himself as the Mekadesh? The Torah believes a person to say that he married off his daughter, who was a Ketana. As the Torah says, V'yomar avianar al azkenim es biti nasati lisha zeh le'isha vayisna'eha. So the Mishnah says, if a father says, Kidashti is biti, he's believed. If he says, V'yenu yodeh l'mi kidashti, I don't remember who the Mekadesh was. She is an Eishas Ish, and he's not allowed to marry anyone else. Ba echad v'yomar ani kidashtiya, if somebody comes along and identifies himself as the Mekadesh, neman, he's believed. And now we have a chazaka that she's Mekudeshes to him, which means that if he dies or he gives her a get, she's allowed to marry anyone. Now, if two witnesses come in front of the Beis Din and testify, Ze Omar Niki Dashtia, that such and such a father stated in front of them, in their presence, that I married off my daughter, and I don't know to whom, Ze Omar, another person comes along and he says, Ani Ki Dashtia, we don't know what the truth is, Ishneim nosnim get. What happened in this case? If two people testify, one of them says, two people come in front of the Beis Din, and one of them says, I'm the Mekadesh. The other one says, no, I was the Mekadesh. This is after the father says he married off his daughter, but he doesn't know to whom. Now she becomes a Sofek Mekudeshes to both Reuven and Shimon. Reuven is believed to say he was Mekadesh, but yet Shimon says he's the one who was Mekadesh. And therefore, she's going to need a get from both of them, Mitzad Sofek, in order to allow her to marry anyone else. V'imratzu, if the two people agree, Echad Nosen Get V'Echad Kones, one of them could give her a get and the other one could marry her. The Gemara now brings a machlokes between Rav and Ravasi, how to interpret our Mishnah. Omar Rav, Rav understands that a man who says, I married her, Nemani's believed, that's only a limited kind of trustability. Litain get, he's only believed in order to allow for a giving of a get, but Eino Nema Lichnos, we're not going to allow him to marry her. Why not? Nema Litain get, because there's a chazoka, Ein Adam Chote Velo Lo. He doesn't have any benefits here from this sin, meaning if he's lying, he doesn't benefit in any way. Because if it's not his wife, he's not benefiting in any way. And to be mater a woman who is an Ashes Ish without her getting a get from her husband, he doesn't get any benefit from that. Therefore, we assume that when he says, I was the Makadish and now he's willing to give her a get, that he's believed. But Eidonem and Lichnos, why? Emo, perhaps Yitzo Tokfo. Perhaps the reason why he wants to marry her is because he knows that she's married to someone else, and he's lying to say that he was the Makadish because his Yetzer wants him so badly to be married to her that he's going to lie for that. So if he's going to give her a get, that's one thing. And even if he's lying, he doesn't benefit from that lie, because once she gets the get, she can marry whoever she wants. What benefit does he get from that? But if he wants to marry her and he says, I was the Mekadesh, there is a possibility that she's in fact married, in truth she's married to someone else, he just has a tremendous desire to marry her, and therefore, he lies and he says that he was the Mekadesh. Ravasi disagrees with Ravi Omar, Af Neman Lichnos. We believe him all across the board. He's definitely telling the truth. He wouldn't have the Hazas pun in the chutzpah to lie in the presence of the father and say, I accept the Kiddushin from you, meaning that you married off your daughter to me and I'm the Makadesh. He has to be worried about the fact that the father, even though he doesn't remember who the Makadish is, nevertheless he knows that he's not the Makadish. I know the father is going to say that this guy is not the one who gave him Kiddushin for his daughter. He'll be caught in his lie. And therefore, because of this Einon the Meis Panov Svara, he, the Makadish, who claims that he's the Makadish, is believed even to marry her. Umoder of Asi, Bo Meres, Niskadashti, V'eini Yodas, Lemi Niskadashti. What about a case where she comes forward and says, I received Kiddushin, I don't know exactly who the Makadish was. Ubo Echad V'yom Kiddashti, or somebody identifies himself as the Makadish, She'ein Neman Lichnos. In this case, Rav Asi would agree that he's not believed to identify himself as the Makadish. You know, there's no Eino de Meis here for some reason. And we'll have to see why. The Gemara is going to explain it in just a moment. But first, the Gemara asks a kash on Rav. Tanan, our Mishnah says that if two people come in front of us, each one claims he was the Makadish, Ratzu, if they want Echad, Nosin, La Gevi Echad, Kones, one will give her get, and the other will marry her, is Tuvta de Rav. Rav just finished saying that if a person claims that I was the Makadish, he's not allowed to marry her. Maybe he's lying because he wants to marry her. Omelcha Rav, shiny hussam. This Mishnah is a little bit different. The Keva the Ikachad Bahadei, there's someone else with him who's also claiming that he was the Makadish. Irasuse Mirsas. There's a certain fear that'll be caught lying. In other words, if a person has this kind of Eino de Meis, you know, he puts himself in the line, vulnerable to be caught on a lie, then we believe he's telling the truth. And here, when, let's say, Shimon comes together with Reuven to claim that the father married her or his daughter off to me, and, you know, when one of them, let's say Reuven, makes this claim in the presence of Shimon, Shimon knows that he's lying, because Shimon knows that he was the Makadesh, and Shimon is going to contradict him, It could be that in such a case, the one who's lying realizes that the father might indeed recognize his chaver. You know, if Reuven says, I married her off, and now Shimon is with him also claiming he's the Mekadesh, Reuven has to be afraid that maybe the father, again assuming Reuven's lying, will recognize Shimon and say, hey, yeah, that's the guy who gave me Kesef Kiddushin in order to marry my daughter. And there'll be a contradiction from the Av to Reuven. The Av is going to call Reuven an outright scoundrel and a liar. Reuven, therefore, agrees to give a get. It's logical that the person who wants to marry her, therefore, is the true Mekadesh. It's a little bit similar to the wisdom of Shlomo HaMelech to determine who's telling the truth. The one who says, I want to marry this woman, is telling the truth. And the one who says, I would divorce her, okay, you know, if he's worried about the fact that the father realizes he's a bluffer, then in the worst case scenario, he's giving a get, he's being mater, so that's not an issue. He's afraid to go a step further and say, well, I want to marry this woman because he's going to be caught by the father in a lie. In any event, Tanya Kavosi de Ravasi, we have a braisa that supports Ravasi. A man says, Ki dashti es biti, I married off my daughter, my ktana. V'eni yode lemi ki dashtiha, uba echad v'yoma ki dashtiha. The braisa says that if one person comes forward and he identifies himself as the Mekadesh, af neman lichnos, he's even believed to allow him to marry her. Once the Kedusha was created and it's validated, someone else cannot come along and undermine the Kedusha and torpedo it by saying, I was the Mekadesh. The second one is not powerful enough to generate an Isur of this Isha on the first Mekadesh. Once she was Muteres lo, Li Nose lo, that's it. That's irreversible. The Heter is Chal, the Kedusha is valid, and there's no way of undermining it. However, in the case of Aisha Shimon is Kadashin in this Mishkadashti Boechav Yomar Nikidashtiya Ein Nemon Lichnos. If she doesn't know to whom she was Mekadesh, this is not the case of the father who doesn't know to whom she was Kadesh, but she doesn't know, is then when a person identifies himself as a Mekadesh, he's not believed Lichnos, Mipnei Shehi Mechapa Olaf. In such a case, he might indeed be lying, even though Af im Takibo, she will recognize that he is not the real Mekadesh, but nevertheless, she'll cover up over his lying. She wants to marry him. And that exactly supports the Shita of Rasi, that only in the case where the father says, I don't know to whom I'm Mekadesh, then we have a svara to believe a person to identify himself as Mekadesh because he wouldn't be meiz l'shaker because the father might contradict him. But in the case of the woman, where she says she doesn't know who the Mekadesh was, he doesn't have that emunus of a ein ad meiz pana because, you know what, maybe she'll agree to marry him even though she knows that he in fact was not the Mekadesh. She doesn't want to be stuck for life without marriage. This guy is okay. She'll cover up over his lie, over his outright false testimony, sheker, and she wants to marry him. And if somebody else comes along and says, you know what, I was the one who married you, she's going to contradict him, all because she has vested interest in being married to him. Now, the Mishnah explains, if you recall, that the father is believed to say that I married off my daughter, and that gives his daughter a status of Eishes Ish. And the Gemara wants to know, to what extent is she an Eishes Ish? Is it as if two witnesses testified that they saw the marriage, and therefore any beer that she has will incur a capital punishment? Iboilehu ma'u liskol al yodo? Is the father believed such that now, if somebody comes along and has a relationship with her, even though there was no testimony that she was married, we only have the word of the father, this Boel is going to be Chayev Skila. Or maybe that far we don't go with an emunus of the father. So the Gemara says, Rav Omar Ein Soklin. Rav says we don't go as far as to trust the father and establish her status as an HDC Shkabura such that the Boel is Chayev Skila, Rav Asi Omer Soklin, the Torah believes the father, Rav says ain't Soklin, Ki Hemni Rachmana, when the Torah says that a father is believed to say that he married off his daughter, Isura, that's only to Asra on the world, but Liktola to go as far as to say that now a Boel will be Chayev Misalom Hemni, the Torah didn't believe him, that father we don't go. And the reason why we don't go that far is because the Nemonis of the father is not like two Edim. It's a separate din of Nemonis, it's not Edus. And a person is Nemon, Shavya Nafshe in Nemonus, but in the case of Shavya Nafshe, and the Nemonis of the father is similar to Shavya Nafshe, that would not engender a capital punishment to kill a person if he violates his own Odah. And so too, we're not going to stone a person based on the father's nemonus. And this svar you'll find in the Divrei Yechezkel, who was a rashiv in the Mir Yeshiva back in Europe. In any event, Rav Asi says Soklin. Why? Because Lekuli Milsa Hemni Rachmana. Liav, the father trusts the father, and there's no reason to limit that trustability. And it's equivalent to the status of two Edim. Omer Avasi, Umodina, there is, to some extent, an admission on my part, that the Omeres Niskadashti, Shein Soklin, that if she herself testifies about herself that she received Kedushin, even though she's believed, Shavya Nafshi, Lesser Al Atzma, nevertheless, that's not Skila. Shavya Nafshi is not two Edim, it's Nemanus, and that's about it. It's not like the case of the father who was granted the status of Edus. V'yomer Rav Asi, Hani Shmaitet Adidi, Merav San Igri. Notice the two halachas that I have suggested would seem to contradict one or the other. Merav Sanigri means they break, literally it translates, they break the roofs, meaning they're very difficult. Why? Because Hashta, now, Bema Uma B'makom, when the father says, I married off my daughter and unto whom? And someone comes along and identifies themselves as the Kaddish. Is the halacha is she'im bo lichnos kones? Right, that was Rav Asi Shita, that he's believed to identify himself as the Kaddish, even as far as allowing him to marry this woman. Is this seems to prove that the chazaka of the Isha here is not so, you know, it's not such a strong chazaka as the case where she was Kudeshes based on the testimony of the father. She's not considered a full-fledged Ashes Ish, because if that be the case, it's hard to believe that the Mishnah would allow a person to be married to this Ashes Ish because of his own word. And Omart, therefore Avasi says, and this is the question, this is the paradox, Soklin, based on the testimony of the father, we're going to give Skila? Is Mokom She'im bo lichnos ein kones ein odin she Soklin? It doesn't make any sense, he says. If the father says, I don't know who the Mekadish is, then the person who identifies himself as the Mekadish is allowed to marry her. If, on the other hand, she says, I don't remember who is the Mekadish, he's not allowed to marry her. Because there we don't have that chazok in the mayors because there's no father involved here. It doesn't make any sense. Because you're telling me that when the father says, I married her off, which means that if somebody was mezana with her, you get skila, that's Rav Asi Shita, that's how far the Torah elevates and relies on the testimony of the father. Then in a case where a woman herself says this Kadashi, I don't know to whom, and then a person comes forward and he identifies himself as the Mekadesh, we were machmer, we said, Ein, we don't believe him, Lagamre. And therefore, in Bo Lichnos Ein Akonis, he cannot marry this woman. Is Lechora, this is a proof that we really have reason to assume that she's Becheskas Mekudeshes, we're not going to be matir her based on the testimony of a person who says, well, I'm the one who married her, is then certainly wouldn't we want to say, therefore, that Soklin Osayyada, right? In the case where the father comes along, we're going to believe him and allow him to be Kones. So you see that Hachazaka is a little bit questionable, that one person can come and be Matir, the Iser, the possibility of an Iser Eshesish. Nevertheless, we trust the father completely, to such an extent, Soklin, that's going to Ravasi. Now, in the case of a woman who says this Kadash, the Hachazaka is so strong, the assumption, the premise that she's an Eshesish is so strong, that if a person identifies himself as a Mekadesh, we're not going to allow him to marry her. That's how stark, that's how strong, you know, it's like a fortress of her, Hachazaka, the assumption that she's an Eshesish, we're not going to be Mater her, unless there's an absolute clarity and proof and evidence to establish that he was the Mekadesh, then certainly, based on her testimony, the Chazaka should be that we should be Sokel al Yod, if she has Nus. And yet, Ravasi admits that in such a case where she claims that she was Mekudeshes, that's only Shavya Nafshe Chatit Lisuri, that's not Eidus, but Nehmanis, and there is no Skila Velohi. And now Ravasi explains his Shita, and he says that, in truth, if you understand what I'm saying, you'll see that this is not a Stira, it's not Mirav Sanigri, it's not a Kash at all. Why? La'av, in the case of the father who says, I was Makadesh, my daughter, Hemnei Rachmanah, the Torah relies on him completely, as if he were to aid him, and therefore Soklin Alpi Divrei Rav, based on his testimony, will give Skila. And nevertheless, when a person comes forward and says, I was the Makadesh, he's allowed to marry her. As we say, because we don't think he's lying, because any other mayors, he knows the father can be machish him and catch him on the lie by saying, I don't recognize this guy. But Lidida, when she says that I accepted Kiddushin, lo Hemnei, the Torah doesn't believe her. And there's no skila based on her testimony. That's all only Shavya Nafshe. In other words, you don't kill a person based on the possibility that he should die, that he really committed this crime. Nevertheless, since she's believed Lagabe Atzma, that's called Shavya Nafshe, and we asa her upon herself as Eishes Ish, and that's the power of a person through his dibur to create an iser upon himself, is in such a case, when a person comes forward and identifies himself as the Mekadesh, he's not allowed to marry her, because we're choshesh v'sheker. Maybe he's lying. There's no ain other meis. So just to summarize this last point, if she testifies that she accepted Kiddushin, but she doesn't know from whom, and therefore Shavya Nafshi Chatich Nisur, she establishes herself Klapei Atzma as an Eishes Ish, when he comes forward and he identifies himself as Kiddushin, he's not worried about getting caught in a lie. He thinks that for sure she'll be Mechapol, which means she'll cover for him, as we said earlier, because she'd like to be married to him. And Rav Chisda Omar, Rav Chisda says, and in this case he's embracing the Shita of Rav, Echad Zevi, Echad Ze Ein Soklin. Whether it's the father who says, I married off my daughter, or she herself testifies to that effect, that she accepted Kiddushin, with a case of Znus, there's no Skila. And in that sense, Rav Chisda, as opposed to Rav Asi, who says that the father is believed completely, even as far as a Skila, as a Chiv Skila is concerned, Rav Chisda embraces the Sheet of Rav, that the father gave, that was given by the Torah Nehmanus, but not elevated to the status of Eidus. Now, before we understand the Viazda Rav Chisda Latame, which is the next piece of Gemara here, I just want to give a little background with regard to Isurei Arayos in general. The Torah prohibits even the case of a gadol who has a relationship with a ktana, or even a katan who has a relationship with a gedola, as long as he is a katan who's roi labia, in other words, he's a ben teisha v'yom echad, then she will be put to death for example, Eishes Ish and all the other arayos, etc. In the case of a woman who's 3 years old and one day, she is considered ru'uya labia, and therefore, if a gadol has beer with her and she's an Eishes Ish, he will be condemned as a capital crime. But less than 3 years, that's not called a beer at all. Now, we're going to need Edim in a capital case to testify that this katan is already 9 years old or this katana is already 3 years old. Now, Ozda Rav Chizda L'tamei, the Omer Rav Chizda, if a person says Bini Zeb Ben Teisha Shodav Yom Echad, the father testifies about his son that he's already royal Abiyah, he's already 9 years old. Or a father testifies that about his daughter, Biti Zu, Bas Sholosh Shonav Yom Echad, and therefore Abiyah is Abiyah that is recognized by the Torah to engender a Chiyuv Misa. And therefore, in the case of a Shogeg, if somebody has relations with this woman, is will he be Chayav a Karbon or not? Neman Le carbon of a low lemakos. As far as a chi of carbon for shogig is concerned, then the status of the father's testimony is equal to that of, let's say, one aid, which is aid echadem bisurin, and that's enough to engender a chi of carbon. But as far as what we call capital punishment and makos, which is a corporeal punishment, is equivalent to misa in that sense, is That's not within the purview of the nemonis of the father. You know, Nei Echad is not sufficient, even though he's sufficient for shogig for karba, but he doesn't have a status of two edim to be mechayev a physical corporeal punishment, and therefore v'lo leonshim. So therefore, Rav Chizda is very consistent that a father is believed, but not to the extent, to say that he married off his daughter, but not to the extent that he could engender a punishment of Misa, just like Rav Chizda said that a father is believed to testify about the age of his child, boy 9, girl 3, that she or he is royal Abiyah, but not for Onshim, not for Achiv Misa in the case of Mezid. Now, the Gemara is going to try to establish a Tosefta that supports Rav Chizda. But again, to give a little bit of background, a Bogeres depends upon two factors. Number one, she has to reach Godless. That's number one. So in the case of a male, a Bagrus would be 13 years and one day. And in the case of a girl, it would be 12 years of age, and in addition, they need what's called simone gadlus. That means shtei saros. So, if a girl reaches 12 or a boy 13, but they haven't brought shtei saros, then they are not considered al pi din a boger or bogeres, meaning a gadol or a gdola. However, as far as Hegdesh is concerned, or Neder is concerned, there's a din, there's a status called Mufla Samach Le'ish, and the Torah will recognize the act of Hegdesh even before they reach full-fledged godless, meaning before when they have Shonim without Simonim, without Shtei Saros. Before they reach 12 and 13, respectively, then the Neder is not a Neder, and the Hegdesh is not a Hegdesh. And as far as Onshim is concerned, they will not be punished as Gedolim until they bring Shtei Saros. Once they bring Shtei Saros, they are Gedolim if they reach the age of 12 and 13. If they have Shtei Saros before they reach that age, that's called Shuma, and that is not Shtei Saros to engender godless and any sort of punishment. Is now we have a braisa that supports Rav Chizda, Tanya Kavosid Rav Chizda, with regard to a ben or a bas that have produced Shtei Saros, they've grown Shtei Saros. We don't know if they reached godless in Shonim. Is that the father says, B'ni Zeb Ben Shloshes Rei Shonim Yom Echad, B'ti Zu, Bas Shtemes Rei Shana V'yom Echad, which means that they would have the status, according to the testimony of the father, of being a Gadol in the case of the son, or a Gadol in the case of the Bas. And now we turn to Daf Samach Dalet Omid Aleph. Is Neman, the father is believed to establish Godless through his testimony about Shonim, Linidarim, Ulecharomim lekdeshos, and also larochim, avolo limalkis, uleonshim. So there's a limitation in the nemanis and the trustability of the father. His testimony is accepted as far as Isurim are concerned, whether it be an Adarim, whether it be Haramim, whether it be Hekdeshos. Let's say, for example, the Ben or the Bas took a Neder, the Neder is Chal, or a Cherem, which means they were Makdish Nechasim, Bilosh and Cherem. All this would be Chal, and there would be a din of Berek Abayis on this Cherem or Hekdeshos. They were Makdish their possessions for Berek Abayis Arochim. They said Erkolai. All these Chiyuvim will be Chal based on the father's testimony that they reached Gadlus in Shonim. Avol, but nevertheless, the father's nemonis is limited, and he's not believed to engender malchus. If, let's say, one of the two, the father, the son, or the daughter, violates an isa losaseh ulionshim in order to mechayev them misa, if they violated some sort of capital crime, this proves, therefore, the shita of Chizda that a father is not believed for any sort of onish. And this is where we'll stop in Mirz Hashem, the Mishnah on Daf Samach Dalid Omid Aleph.